With what earnestness did the psalmist of 68 desire to lift up that voice of praise to the Lord. Then he lifts up his own voice and he seeks to receive in unison that those voices of that chosen Israel, that is a people congregation who art God's joy and treasure. And then should it not be that that praise to God should also be rendered with much pleasure? But our congregation, what also becomes evident, let God be praised with reverence deep than that psalmist. Young and old, he is no stranger to the reason and to the purpose. It has been beheld with his eyes, it has been tasted with his mouth. Then he has seen daily that God cares for him, for them, that God is he is their God, he is their God, children. And then praise is so comely for such a God. Let God be praised with reverence deep. Our congregation, then, he also recognizes that that praise must come from a heart that has been touched by grace. And congregation, when we gather in God's house this evening for a Thanksgiving service, oh, that may also be so impressed upon us, that outside of that grace in the heart, young and old, then how shall we render unto the Lord that praise, that glory, that honor that is due unto his holy name? And now, congregation, what is more, that psalmist knew from whom it must come. Oh, that would only come from the right hand, from him who was at the right hand of his Father, who had ascended on high, who had led captivity captive, and who had received those gifts for men. And congregation, then and only then, can God truly crown that year with his goodness. And tonight, may that also be experienced in the heart of his church and of his people. And if we are not such, young and old, oh, may the Lord awake and arouse such a jealousy to receive that portion. And yet, what is more, those who in the tenderness of that heart desire to give that praise upright unto the Lord, but have to say this evening now how to do it. How to do it? I am shut up and I cannot come forth. Oh, may the Lord also grant such an opening tonight, such a view tonight, by renewal of his goodness, and crown what he has begun with that everlasting salvation. Come. I ask your attention for our text in the context of Psalm 65, verse 11. Psalm 65, verse 11, where we read our text as follows: Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. So far our text. We wish tonight to consider with the Lord's help the Lord's crowning goodness with two main thoughts. In the first place, concerning what he gives, and in the second place, concerning how he gives. the Lord's crowning goodness in what he gives and in how he gives. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. A congregation, it is evident that David, in penning Psalm 65, then had that praise which is due unto the name of the Lord in view. No, we do not read, as it is written in the heading of other psalms, a psalm of praise. But young people, that is so evident, that church's praise becomes the church's vow. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. You see, congregation, the congregation of Israel, they would gather in that sanctuary in Zion, and especially in that time of thanksgiving, that time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, to give that praise unto God. And then what they would witness, children, is those Levites, they would come before the Lord, and there would be a hushed silence in that temple. Oh, there would be bowed heads in that temple, and there would be no sound heard. In the first place, there was that silent praise and that silent prayer from the hearts of those servants of the Lord. And congregation, that took place before those Levites would then begin to sing according to their course. That is why the psalm begins thus, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Now it is as if David is present, and he himself is eager, he is waiting to give that praise unto the Lord. And now, congregation, it is special circumstances in that life of David, in that life of Israel, evidently, in that season or in that year. Because then we find that the Lord had not merely given them the blessings of the land, but it was a time, congregation, where the enemy had been a threatening enemy in those days. Because we read, it is his strength which setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. So, congregation, one of the expositors writes that it seems that there was a people that had been taken captive by the enemy, and that the Lord had gone forth before the armies of Israel and had given deliverance where those captives could be returned. And upon returning up into Israel and into that promised land, then they beheld that the seed that had been entrusted into the earth in the springtime, all the while they were in captivity, that had been cared for by the Lord. Then they were humbled to see that that had sprouted, that that had grown forth, that that had borne fruit. And now the year was crowned with that goodness of the Lord. It was as if they could see that harvest before their eyes, congregation. I had to think, young and old, of what is currently taking place in the land of Israel today. It actually happens to be the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles according to the Jewish calendar today. And now a peace agreement has been reached with the enemy forces that 2 years ago on the 7th of October did invade that land of Israel, killing nearly 1,200 Jewish people, mostly young people, taking 270 captive, some of which were released in the previous months, many who died in captivity or were killed in trying to be rescued by the Israeli forces, and 48 that were left up until today, 20 of which were living, and 28 which would be returned as only remains, human remains, to their families. Our congregation, then we also see that God's word, that is an everlasting word. We also see that there is nothing new under the sun. And our congregation, what a wonder it would be if the eyes of the Israeli people would be opened to something of that goodness of the Lord, that they would be converted unto him. Because congregation, that is what is of most importance, and David does not leave that out of this psalm. Oh no, because though it is a psalm of praise, though it is a psalm, congregation, that is waiting for that vow to be performed unto the Lord, though it is a psalm that lifts up the might and the strength of the Lord as he has shown it forth in the release of those captives and the defeat of those enemies, congregation, it is a psalm of grace and it is a psalm of providence in that order. A psalm of grace and a psalm of providence. Because we read it here, iniquities prevail against me. You see, young and old, then that had become personal in the life of the psalmist. But what is more, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Is there a people in our midst tonight for whom that has become personal? Do you know what is necessary to have a day of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise? Oh, congregation, that can only be over and against a guilt which has been removed. Iniquities prevail against me, and as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Congregation, that is the voice of one who is no stranger to those mercies that dwell with that everlasting God. And congregation, that is evident when David also looks upon the fields when he returns. Oh, that was not by David's might that there was then a harvest time. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou enrichest it with that river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn. When thou hast so provided for it, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou springest. Thou blessest the springing of the grain. And then it comes. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. David says, Ah, Lord, now thou settest a crown upon it. That crown which is, as it were, that finishing touch. Our congregation, that speaks, a crown speaks of royalty. A crown speaks of glory. Children, a crown speaks of riches. A crown speaks of that ornament which goes upon the head, that is the top, that is something that is beautiful, that surrounds, that encloses, that finishes, as it were. And now David likens that harvest time and that time of thanksgiving, that the Lord makes everything beautiful in his own time, that it is out of the Lord's hand that the earth is enriched, that the people thereupon may receive those bounties of the earth, as we have sung it in 420. But now, congregation, is that not a picture? Because we said that is a psalm of grace. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Ah, congregation, before the Lord comes with that beauty of holiness, oh, to set a crown upon the head of that people, then there is something else that has to take place in that life. Just like in nature, children, then that seed has to be sown in the earth. Thou visitest the earth, thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. And now, congregation, can we not liken that unto that seed of the word which the Lord has given also in the midst of the congregation in the past season? Has the Lord not prepared and has the Lord not provided that word so faithfully? Has he not given among the St. Catherine's congregation a servant to faithfully sow that seed? Ah, then, congregation, has the Lord, that is such a personal question, has the Lord made furrows in the congregation? Has that word not gone forth, congregation, as a plow? Has that law not been preached? Has that soil of the heart not been turned over? Oh, has that become a fertile tilth, as it were, that may receive that seed? In short, a congregation, has the heart been broken under that word? Was there a people in the past season that had to say, woe is me, for I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips? Is there a woman in the congregation that had to come into God's house as a Hannah who was so barren? You see, congregation, what David continues with, it is the Lord that makes that field fertile. Not only preparing that corn and not only plowing that field, but then it is thy paths drop fatness. Those paths were the clouds of heaven. We read, he maketh those clouds, that the Lord rideth upon the clouds with his chariot, that his footsteps are heard in the heavens, a congregation. Then Job says that thou enrichest that field with that which drops from the clouds in heaven. You see, that was so necessary in that land of Israel. Because, congregation, there was also those barren hillsides that were so dependent upon the dropping of the rain, that small rain, those soft showers upon them. And what is more, in order to help the fertility of those fields, then the ashes, congregation, from under that altar were taken, and they were spread upon those barren fields. To this day, when the Jewish people commemorate their Thanksgiving, their Sukkot, as they term that in the Hebrew language, that lasts for 5 days. And congregation, yes, they acknowledge Yahweh for the blessings upon land and upon people. But that is also a time where they reflect upon the wilderness journey from Egypt unto Canaan. 40 years in that wilderness, where the Lord fed them with manna, where the Lord granted them that water from the rock, where their shoes did not wax old upon their feet, nor their garments upon their body, where the Lord supplied for them, young and old, in that wilderness. And now again, this evening, I wish not to stay with that Jewish nation. But is there a people in the midst who come to this Thanksgiving Day, and they have to say, now, our Lord, thou hast allured in that wilderness. Thou hast spoken comfortably unto me in that wilderness. Lord, thou hast granted that there was food in that wilderness, a little manna. Oh, that there was a little of that water that thou didst give out of that rock in the wilderness. But is there a people tonight that has to say, ah, Lord, then thou knowest it is still a wilderness. Is there a people tonight that has to say, ah, Lord, praise waiteth for thee in Zion? That there is a people in St. Catharines tonight that say, oh, how shall I order my words? How shall I order that praise aright? Is there a people tonight? As the dusk settles and the day expires, that has to say, I am so silent. And yet in my heart there is a desire to give that praise unto that Almighty God for what he has given. Oh, is there a people? Do you know what I read here? Thou settlest the furrows thereof. With what? With those soft showers. You know what that says literally? That there is a calmness to those furrows. Is there a people in the past season who have had those furrows which that law has made in that heart? Is so settled. Settled by what? Is settled, congregation, by that fear of the Lord in the heart. That is true. Oh, then, as it were, there is a desire in that heart. Oh, that is not a people that says, now I see fruit, now I see a shoot, now I see the blade and the full corn in the ear. Now I know I am a child of God, and now I know that there is fruit to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. But a people, congregation, that says, ah, Lord, then if I am not mistaken, I am not what I once was, but I cannot give what I desire to give unto thee. Lord, and why? My lips are so closed by sin and by shame. Those iniquities, they prevail against me. Oh, congregation, is there a people that has to say, now that field of my heart that is so unfertile, you know what, young and old, oh, such can never come to that realization. Oh, they can never come into that land and behold something of their own heart, as it were, except the Lord himself has begun it. No, that is not a fruit of their own doing, young and old. Oh, no, you know what the Lord does, what the Lord works when he begins in that heart. Then he works that humility within. Then he begins to uncover. Then there is a people that has to say, ah, Lord, thou didst crown us with glory and with honor. Oh, thou didst look upon that work of thy hand, and behold, it was very good. Thou didst plant man in that garden of Eden. He was perfect when he came out of thy hand, then in understanding and in will and in deed, with knowledge and righteousness and holiness endowed by thy hand. Oh, then he knew thee uprightly. And our congregation praise did not have to wait there in paradise. Oh, no. Then the evening and the morning rejoiced, and that man rejoiced with it. And our congregation, then there is a people that sometimes think and they sometimes meditate upon it. And they say, oh, what would that be then? Oh, Lord, then thou knowest. Thou knowest that I long in the morning and in the evening to give that thank offering unto thee. But now woe is me, because that crown is fallen from my head. And, ah, Lord, then how shall there ever be fruit of those lips? But congregation, then it says in God's word that I create the fruit of those lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is nigh. Ah, congregation, is there a people tonight that is so jealous of that portion? Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Congregation, the reason can be no other. There is no goodness in man, young and old. No, no. We can be glad with the goodness of the Lord. That is true. We can receive out of the Lord's hand much in nature, much in providence, and the Lord is worthy to be praised. And we must, congregation, oh boys and girls, we must bow our knees tonight, and we must still thank the Lord. But we must say, oh Lord, give that true thank offering in that heart. Thou art so worthy. Thou art so worthy. Thou wearest that crown, and thou hast crowned that year with thy goodness. But there is no worthiness in us. Lord, wilt thou grant that grace? Wilt thou grant that that soil may be turned over? That that fear of the Lord may settle in my heart? That thou would bless that springing of thy word? That seed that has been sown? Ah, Lord, wilt thou give from heaven those showers that may drop upon those pastures in this wilderness? Oh, that there may be a people that may bring forth fruit. A little praise that thou art so worthy of. And our congregation, now the Lord tells us also here how he gives that. But first we sing together.